Hallelujah. It doesn't make you any more anointed or less. It's just something I like. You know, this morning, it was just awesome. From Deacon Avante, praying the fire of God. Let me tell you something. With God, you cannot get away from fire. You just cannot get away from it. He comes on the scene as a consuming fire. That's what he says. My brother prayed about fire. The praise team, they sung the favor of God. Debbie and Josh, at the cross, I surrender all.
Hallelujah.
And Renee sung, my wife, sit at your feet, Jesus' feet, for his love is overwhelming.
Hallelujah.
Many of them had no idea what I was going to be preaching about today. But as you can see, the architect of the cross, guilty or not guilty? Think about that. I'm going to ask you a question. It's rhetorical, but I would like to see a raise of hands. I got one too. So don't get it twisted. He knows. There's no right answer, no wrong answer. I just want to see a hand or a raise of hands. How many of you think that when Jesus Christ was hung upon the cross, that he was innocent? Raise your hands. Seriously. Was he innocent? How many of you... Now, I saw some hands. Now, if I don't see the remaining hands, we going back to this question. Okay? How many of you believe that Jesus was guilty? Raise your hands. All right, I see some hands, a whole lot of hands that wasn't raised at all. Do you believe he existed? One more time. I'm going to call you out. I know who didn't raise a hand. Oh. Lord. All right. Was Jesus guilty? Raise your hands. Was he innocent? Raise your hand. All of y'all are right. Every single one of you. So you who are afraid to raise your hands, I don't know what your problem is. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:19. In the title of this message, as you see, the architect of the cross. Guilty or not? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Let's go to Matthew 21:10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this man? I do want to read 1 John 2, verses 1 through 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not of ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. I'm going to tell you a testimony, and it's not, God just put it on my heart just now. It's not in my message. It's dealing with the cross. Years ago, when we were on Hall Street, I'll never forget this, and we were having a guest minister was here preaching revival. You recall Chuck DiOrio? This brother preached all week long. Never forget it. All week long. I had never met him. My wife and I were sitting there. I'm just going to tell on myself. See, we ain't all that in a bag of chips. I was sitting in that chair. Never forget, he was here with his family and his wife. And I was sitting in that seat the whole week. I say, who in the world is this country bumpkin? That's what. Many times we think things, we may not say it. So, anyhow, this brother poured out his heart all week long. After service, we mingled around, then we left. I remember on the last day, I watched him preach and I watched him pray and sweat and laying hands on everybody. I'll never forget, we were on Hall Street Road. I believe we were next door to Ian Jones, the Message of the Cross. Remember the cross? And he went outside, and I went outside. I went running after this brother. I ain't never met him. Didn't know him. I said, I just want to introduce myself to you. My name's Michael Munford. And believe it or not, my name isn't Pastor Michael Munford. That ain't on my birth certificate. Maybe it's on yours. But my birth certificate, I told William, where you at? I said, I'm taking Paul out of my name. Because she gets upset. Michael Paul. Put such an emphasis on it. But I went out to that brother. And I said, man, I said, I've watched you all week. You have preached your heart out. You have prayed over everybody. I said, would you mind if I pray over you? Let me tell you something. You were in the hallway. Pastor Ann was in the hallway. She was, I don't know what she was doing. Sheila was somewhere. Everybody was finished. See, let me tell you something. Sometimes when we finish, God ain't finished. We done had our little services. We done had our little agendas. But sometimes God said, okay, that was fine, but are you ready for me? We have our programs and all. We came back into this church. That cross, the same cross that you made. You made that. I know you did. And that brother and I came in here, well, at Hall Street. We began to pray. All I can tell you is that at the exact instant, we looked And all we could see was blood gushing from the cross. Amen. It was like we were standing in a sea of blood. That's all we could see was a sea of blood. And we began to weep uncontrollably. I mean, yelling. She came in. Pastor Ann came. Everybody came in wondering what was wrong with these men. She went to touch me and I said, no, honey. No, God is doing something. See, let me tell you something. Many times we think that we have received all that God wants for us. Never forget, you only know in part and you only prophesy in part. I can see I'm not going to be able to get through all this today anyhow. It's about the cross.
Hallelujah.
Everything goes back to the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm going to try to get through 4 points this morning. The first one is God sent his son into the world. God sent his son into the world. God prepared his son for the mission. God drew his son to the cross. And God himself placed his son on the altar. For you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. I was reading through this week from Matthew 21, the account of Jesus entering Jerusalem, and my attention was taken straight to verse 10 where it says, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Think about that. Not just some of the city, that's like Richmond. The entire city is moved. And they said, who is this? Who is this man? This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. But note, the whole city is moved. Many of us come to church every Sunday, and many of us ain't moved at all. Have you met Jesus? This ain't a message to tickle you today. We have mega churches in America, millions of people, boom, 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 coming in, going out. But have you met Jesus?
Hallelujah.
Or have you met religion? Or have you met tradition? Let me tell you something. When you meet Jesus, you will never be the same. I'm here to tell you, when you meet Jesus, you will never be the same.
Hallelujah.
Don't mean you won't struggle. Don't mean you won't have adversity. Don't mean you might sin. Well, that's why Jesus is here. You fall upon your knees and you repent and you ask him for forgiveness. But have you met him? That's the question. The cross. What does the cross represent to you? What is it? Is it a figment of our imagination? Oh, why these folk got to be talking about the cross? What is this mess about the cross? What is this Jesus Christ? He wasn't nothing but a prophet. Greatest prophets of them all. Jesus was the greatest of it all. He was the greatest teacher, greatest evangelist, greatest preacher, greatest prophet, greatest teacher. I can keep on. He was the Son of God. God manifested in the flesh. Amen. All of Jerusalem said, "Who is this?" As the multitudes with him proclaimed his coming to the holy city with shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David. Keep in mind, Jesus is out of the lineage of David. Took me a while to figure that thing out. And I said, I'll never forget when I began to study it. I was like, "God, you messed up, ain't you?" I'm thinking, "God, what's up with you? What you saying? David is a man after your own heart?" Look, go back and read what David did. What God is showing us is that not one of us are perfect. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I got to say it. Stop being a jellyfish Christian. Y'all will get it. Some of y'all got it. Have a backbone. Stand up. Stand up, have a backbone. Obey the word of God. Take a strong man, woman of God, to walk in accordance to the word of God. God said, "If you love me," stop saying you love God and you disobey his word. God says, "If you love me, all of Jerusalem said, "Who is this?" As the multitudes with him proclaimed his coming to the holy city with shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A triumphant procession. Welcome. Keep in mind, though, this is the beginning of the week. But by the end of the week, the acclamation would turn to accusation, arrest, trial, and then the crucifixion. Think about it. Those that follow him, his followers have fled. The prophet Zacharias had foretold, "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Zechariah 13:17. You can reference that. They've seen him work miracles. They'd heard him teach with authority. They were drawn to him. And so no doubt, as they celebrated his coming into Jerusalem, they were quite sure that he was the awaited Messiah. And that he was coming to the capital now to lead a revolution to overthrow the Roman oppressors. Yeah, that's what they thought. But what happened? Let me tell you something. If Jesus was coming upon this earth today, he's not going to the White House. He's going to come to the church house and deal with us. Some of us are very hypocritical. It's no different. He didn't go to the Roman leaders. Instead of rallying support for a revelation, instead of challenging the Romans, Jesus went straight to the temple and challenged the Jewish leaders. See, we think we all that in a bag of chips. Don't get it twisted. You better get it right. Sorry to be screaming at you. Okay. Hallelujah. That wasn't a good political move, was it? Not a good start for a revolution. So they thought. The multitude was still with him at this stage, but he clearly wasn't doing what they expected the Messiah to do. Jesus then went outside Jerusalem to Bethany, where he stayed while he taught on the Mount of Olives. But all week long, the Jewish leaders had been scheming and lobbying the city against him, because he went and he attacked them. He didn't really attack them. He exposed them.
Amen.
He exposed the wickedness. He exposed the falseness.
Yes, yes.
He exposed, you don't know my daddy. You don't know my father.
That's right.
Blasphemy to say that you are the Son of God, they said. He never defended himself. He returned on Thursday to eat the Last Supper with the disciples, but all week long we knew what was happening. In the middle of the night, he was arrested by the mob in the Garden of Gethsemane, and of course we know what Peter did. Imagine this man walking with Jesus all these years, seeing the Messiah, seeing the Son of God. Think about this, how quick we get in the flesh. Walking with Jesus, seeing the miracles, seeing the healings. Jesus then told them what his purpose is. Here come to God. Instantly, the man get in the flesh. Let me tell you something. He wasn't trying to cut his ear off. He was trying to kill him. He was trying to cut his head off. We don't think we would do nothing like that. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story. I saved, but I ain't too saved. I'm saved. I'm a man, but I was a man before I was saved. I never forget when my wife and I had our own business, a landscape design company. And I remember, we were in Louisiana, I used to try to reach out to those that was in the street, try to give them a job. And at this point, my girls, all my kids were still at home. My daughters were in middle school, I believe, at this point. My son was in high school. No, Lisa was in middle school, Audrey was in high school, and so was Paul. And I remember one of the guys, we were in a truck riding, and one of the stipulations were that when you come, we're going to pray in the morning. Short prayer, not beating them over the head, because they called me Michael. I didn't want them to call me Pastor. I want them to get to know me. So one of them rascals asked me, and I knew the rest of them was in the truck listening, right? Well, this is why I'm telling you, I ain't that saved. So the boy said, well, Michael, or did he say Mr. Mumford? I can't remember. He said, well, what would you do if somebody broke in your house? I said, okay. I said, well, what would you do? He told me. I said, okay. I said, let me tell you something. I said, if you break in my house, I didn't say him, but I said, if anyone were to break in my house, I said, first off, is to take care of my family. I said, don't get it twisted. I said, if you break in my house, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get you down. Okay? There are some Christians that do like to hunt. I'm one of them. 12 gauge, 4, 10, 20 gauge, 22, 44. I got my pick. I got Billy Club. I said, son, let me tell you something. I said, anybody breaking my house, I said, I'm taking you down by any means necessary. I said, it ain't prayer time now. I said, it ain't about me praying over you at that moment. I said, now once I have subdued you and got you down, I'm calling 911. I'm coming to the hospital. Now it's prayer time. I know I ain't right. But see, people take us, don't understand Christianity. I'm going to protect my wife.
That's right.
Somebody come in here, I'm going to protect every person in here. What kind of man would we be? I'm going to protect him. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you. Let me tell you, when they were in Jesus' house, he went in there like a lunatic with a whip. Just look at it. He mad. Hair going everywhere. You don't just flip a table and just, okay, let me flip the table. He yelling, screaming, looking like he's insane. Why? The wrath of God has come into his father's house. Understand the wrath of God. The cross. Okay. Who was responsible for Jesus dying on the cross is the question. The Romans? Pontius Pilate? The Jewish mob? Herod? Judas Iscariot? Was it Satan himself? Perhaps we say it was us. All of sinful mankind. For if it weren't for our sins, he would not have needed to die. And that's right. It's true. But truly, there were many hands that had a part in holding the hammer which pounded the nails in Jesus' hands and his feet. So what I'm really asking, who was ultimately responsible for Jesus going to the cross? Whose idea was it? Who was the architect of the cross? Think about it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:19 again. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Who was in charge of the proceedings on that little hill called Calvary? Think about it. God himself. God himself. It was his idea. You may not have heard it preached like this before. Maybe it's a revelation to some. Maybe it's not a revelation. Maybe it's just a reminding
Amen. Amen.
To you. God sent his son into the world. That's the first point. It all began with God.
Amen.
God saw a plight that we were helplessly and hopelessly lost in sin.
Amen.
We were cut off from any kind of relationship with him. We must always remember that sin is what separates us from God. But we all have sinned. We all have sinned. Now, as a Christian, we no longer live a lifestyle
Amen.
Of sin. And what that means is prior to coming to walk with God, you just sinned. And you didn't think twice about it. Now, you may have had a conscience. Some of us ain't had no conscience. We just did it. But now, see, now walking as a Christian,
hallelujah,
when you sin, we have an advocate. We have the Holy Spirit knocking. All right. You know you shouldn't have done that. You know you shouldn't have said that. You know that wasn't right what you said to your husband. And you mad because he done responded in the wrong way to you. See, we have the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. So God took radical action so that he could have fellowship with us. In fact, he had foreseen the need before the world was created.
Amen.
The plan was launched way back. Never forget, he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning,
hallelujah,
and the end. He sent his only begotten Son, the Prince of Glory, who had always been co-partner with him. He sent his Son into the world on a dark but vital mission behind the enemy's lines. This is why this is the word saying that we are soldiers. There are some soldiers where they are sent behind the enemy's line, and many know that they will not return. But their mission is to save the greater number.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus did for us.
Hallelujah.
I couldn't do it. I can die. But because of this sinfulness of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
See, God had to set it up like that. He sent his only begotten Son, the Prince of Glory, who had always been co-partner with him. He sent his Son into the world on a dark but vital mission behind the enemy's line to purchase the captives,
hallelujah,
of earth back to himself.
Jesus.
Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I feel I need to say this. God created Adam. He was sinless. Prior to sin, he had the keys to life. But he disobeyed the Father. Once he disobeyed God, death came into mankind. The sin nature is in all of us. When he disobeyed, he gave the keys to the devil. Okay? It says that Jesus Christ is the key to death and hell. See, Jesus not only died for us, but when he went down into hell, just he put upon himself all the sins of the world upon his shoulders. And when he went to hell, he took that, imagine, that backpack off, or that bag of sins, and he laid it in hell. But he said, no, Daddy, don't, I'm not ready to come out. I got to go get them keys. I got to go get the keys of my brother. Says that. First Adam, second Adam. Where the keys at? Oh, okay. I got the keys now. Now, I'm ready to go. He is the key.
Hallelujah.
He is the key to the mansion that is in heaven. To enter my house, in my natural house, if my doors are locked, You might be able to break the door down. I doubt it. But what all is said and done, to get into my house, I need a key to turn the lock to go inside. It's the same way with the house of God. Jesus is the key that we need. See, the world don't want to believe that it's only Jesus. All religion is man trying to conjure up a way to get to know God. Well, we can't. God is the creator and we are the creation. See, God has said, the key, I have a key for you. See, mankind doesn't want to do it like that. See, you can talk to all religions, many religions, about God. That's why people tell me, I believe in God. Okay, that don't really mean nothing to me. The devil believes in God. He believes in Jesus. He knows the word of God. It's about Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the key to purchase the captives of earth back to him. Number two, God prepared his son for the mission. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Isaiah 53:2. Like a gardener, God planted his own seed in a virgin's womb and watched Jesus delivered the babe in Bethlehem. And he watched him grow throughout childhood into adolescence into manhood. He grew up strong and holy. You imagine being Jesus's brother? Who was Jesus's brother? Yeah. All right. So imagine being James. See him sitting at the table. Mary said, James, you need to be more like Jesus. All right, we know the wedding feast. My wife heard this. But there is another feast that happened. And Jesus wasn't there. There was this wedding feast. And everybody looking around, just a bunch of water and everything. And everybody look at James. Everybody look at James. James like, look at me. Somebody, James, do what your brother did. James said, my name ain't James Christ. It's a joke. All right. That's a joke that's not in this Bible. For some of you, come at me. It's a joke. But imagine the pressure being his brother. Oh my gosh. You know he acting up. And Jesus is the perfect son. I bet you them rascals got in some fights though. But I bet you Jesus could whip him. I know he probably want to hit him sometime because he's so good. Always doing everything right. I'm like, boy, I'm about sick of you. And James always doing something. But Jesus, mama tell him don't do it. Okay, mama. And James like, boy, I'm going to wait till mama and daddy leave. I got you. God prepared his son for the mission. And he watched him grow. And all the while, God himself was preparing him for what he must do. He was preparing him, the tender plant, to eventually to be cut down. Another image that you can look at is God was like the shepherd watching especially over the prized lamb of the flock, the unblemished lamb, the best, most pure. And he gives special attention to it as it grows. Why? Because it is to be the lamb of sacrifice, the one offered to God for sin. Through Jesus' 33 years, God was preparing his son for the mission that was ahead of him. Number three, God drew his son to the cross.
Hallelujah.
For you, for you, for you, for you, for me. When the time was right, when the sacrifice was ready, God summoned his son Jesus Christ to Jerusalem. As Jesus and his disciples traveled there, he began to speak about dying. They didn't understand it, but Jesus knew he was being led by God into the final, all-important conflict. Jesus wasn't fooled by the reception that he received as he entered Jerusalem riding the donkey. Hosanna to the Son of David. He knew why he was there. He knew what his mission was. What is your mission? What is your mission? We all have a mission. What is your mission? Is it just to be saved? And to come to church? What is your mission? Is your mission on your job? Your mission, your family members that are not saved? Is your mission your mother and father who love you, but they're not saved? What is your mission? We're not just saved just to be saved, people. There's a work to be done. There's a fight to be fought. And there's victories to be won. God drew his son to the cross. By the end of the week, he would be deserted by all. By all. And he would be crucified. The Father led him into a garden for the final briefing. An agonizing night of wrestling with the task before him and summoning the strength in communion with the Father. How many of you has God told you to speak or to say something and you just agonized, that's a good word, agonized, groaned in the very depth, you didn't want to do it. How painful it was knowing what was before him, but yet he was still a man in a natural body like you and I, with natural feelings. I just can't envision it. It was the Father who led him to Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. Carrying his own cross. The scene reminds me of Abraham leading his own son Isaac up the mountain, having laid him on his back, the very wood that will be used to sacrifice his son. God drew his son to the cross. God placed his son on the altar. God, through the workings of men, revelation came forth. God placed his son. If you have any doubts about who sacrificed Jesus, is Jesus, go back to Isaiah 53. This is for your own reading. Isaiah 53. And listen to the words in these verses. Isaiah 53, 4, verse 6, verse 10, and verse 11. Oh, yeah. As Jesus hung there, suspended between earth and heaven, imagine, he's hanging, and he's going in and out between heaven and this natural realm. And Jesus hung there, suspended between earth and heaven. God's hand came down, and he himself wrung the precious lifeblood of Jesus out on the ground. He had provided for himself a sacrificial lamb to pay the price for our sin and meet the demands of holy justice. God. God himself. For me, that's why it is our reasonable service to serve him and to worship him. For we who are saved, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God himself did it for you and me, for you and me, for you and me. God. That's why we can't get away from the cross. We know that our Savior is no longer there. But he did it for us. He did it for us. He had provided for himself a sacrificial lamb to pay the price of our sin and meet the demands of holy justice. As the blood poured out on the ground, our penalty was being paid. And then the Father took all the sins of the whole world,
hallelujah,
all the guilt and vile sin occurred in all of man's rotten history, and he laid it squarely on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. He became sin for us.
Hallelujah.
Prior to that, he was innocent. It says he became the propitiation. He became the cosigner. Let's put it to like, you know what a cosigner. Some of us may not understand propitiation. Jesus became the cosigner. Let's say your credit ain't too good. Sin, our credit ain't too good. And you want to purchase a vehicle, but you know you won't qualify for the loan. So let me just back it up. I remember my first car. I was working, had been working for a year, but I hadn't established any credit. And Lord have mercy, I wanted this 1979 Mustang Mach 1 Fastback. God! Something I shouldn't have had at 19 years old and won't save. Oh, spanking the engine on wheels. You know what I'm talking about. Well, you don't know. 79 Mustang Mach 1 Fastback GT. I had to put the GT in there. Boy, I wanted this thing was black. Black. Black exterior, black interior, leather. What are you laughing for? So I wanted this car. It's that Richmond Ford on Broad Street. Man, I want that car. Keep in mind, I ain't saved, so I'm still acting up. I'm still at home acting up. I'm acting a fool, right? So, had changed a little bit. I'm working now. Won't skip in school and all this. Cause I'm out of school. But I'm working now. So my dad see a little something in me. The boy still, my mama name was Lois, so my dad said, Lois, that boy crazy. I don't know what his problem is. That's because I act just like him. I just like my daddy. My mama told me stories. My grandmama told me stories about him. I let him act just like him. And so I went, I said, Dad, I said, I'm working. I said, I can pay for the insurance. I can pay the car. No, boom, boom, boom. So we went on down to Richmond Ford. Till this day, I couldn't tell you who the salesman was. All I can see is that Mustang. My daddy go in. I don't even remember that. I know it happened. We sat down, signed the papers, boom, 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 boom. What did he do? What did my daddy do? He was the co-signer because I didn't have the credit to purchase it. You see where I'm going? Well, he co-signed. Thank God, though, I paid it off early, and I paid the insurance. But let me tell you something, though. When he signed them papers and them things gave this boy the key, shouldn't have given me the key. I never did ask. My father is no longer here. I remember getting that key, getting in that Mustang. I turned that key, put on that gas. I said, well, I ain't say Lord have mercy. I didn't talk like that back then. I won't say. I put that baby in drive in first gear. I drove, if you know what Richmond Ford is, I drove out the parking lot, the broad street. And I remember them looking at me. And I was driving real cautious. Got out, took a right, and I stood still. Boy, I punched that boy. And like I was in a race. I said, boom, whoa. I can only imagine what my dad thought at that moment. I said, oh, Lord, I done got myself into a pickle here. Because the boy going to kill himself. Why am I saying that? It's because Jesus was the co-signer. Propitiation. He was the co-signer. We don't have the credit to pay the price. Amen. For that. Only he could do it. Only Jesus could do it. And he did it for us. Think about it. He did it for you. He did it for you.
Hallelujah.
And he's doing it for us every day. Sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Think of why shouldn't we want to worship him? Let me tell you something. You can worship God and still go home and look at the football game. People think that when you get saved, life is over with. That's what I used to think. We talked about it the other day. How I met some folk, and I said, if that's Christianity, I'm destined for hell because I don't want nothing to do with it. We can have fun. We can have fun in salvation. We can have fun. We can have parties. I can still get drunk in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We can still have fun. We can fellowship. Men, it's okay. It's okay to watch football. It's okay to watch basketball.
Amen.
It's okay to watch soccer. But let me tell you something. If you can scream and holler, when that quarterback throws that ball to that receiver, and I do it, my wife, I'll be downstairs in my music room. And all of a sudden, she hear this thunder, scream, jumping up. Let me tell you something. Why can't you do it in the house of God? Ain't nothing wrong with it. If you're radical for the world, why can't you get radical for Christ? Radical for Christ. Have fun. Have fun in the Lord. Don't get, stop being stuck up. You're stuck up. You're constipated and you walk around like, God. Come on, loosen yourself up. Okay? Take some spiritual fiber to loosen yourself up. Have fun. It's okay. It's okay to laugh. All right. I'm going to do something. All right. I ain't looking that way. I want every single one of you to put a smile on your face. Smile. Smile. You ain't smiling. I want to see some wrinkles on the forehead. Smile. It ain't going to cost you nothing. Do you know it's free? You can smile and still walk with the Lord. Amen. You can smile and walk with the Lord. You can laugh and walk with the Lord.
That's right.
Get it all twisted. Walk around like you sucking on some lemon. I don't want nothing to do with that. Come on. It's okay. Go out with your wife. Have fun with her. Go out with the boys every now and then. It's okay. But don't forget Jesus. Take him with you. Play a little golf. Y'all don't play no golf. Play a little golf. Go out on the greens, the country golf courses, where you see the foxes and the deer and all that running around. Come in Sheila's yard. It's a golf course now? Oh, I was like, what, but when you get a golf course? God placed his son
Amen.
On the cross. He bore it all. All our shame, all our condemnation,
yes.
All our grief.
Yes.
It was put on Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And in that moment, the Father, think about this. The Father, they were face to face, and the Father turned his back.
Hallelujah.
In that moment, God turned his back on his son. Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, my God, my Father. Why have thou forsaken me?" That may very well be the cry of every soul that is in hell. See, we don't know what it feels like to not have the presence of God. If it wasn't for the presence of God, the devil, the adversary would destroy this world a long time ago.
Amen. Amen.
I'm closing. And I've said this before. I'm pretty sure maybe some of you haven't. Maybe you who on YouTube. I want to thank you guys back there in the video, because I know it's very hard trying to video me. Because I'm all over the place. I'm up in the camera. Then I'm back away from the camera. So I just want to thank them for putting up with me. But you know, God is an awesome God. He did it for you. He did it for me. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Why did God do all this? And why did Jesus give himself? Think about that. See, the scripture says that the rains or the blessings fall down upon the just as well as the unjust. So we all benefit from the presence and the glory of God, whether you recognize it or not. Ain't no such thing as no Big Bang theory. 1 minute, nothing, all of a sudden, something. But the greatest tragedy of hell is the absence of the presence of God. That is not a place that you want to go, that you want to dwell in. I'm here to tell you right now, if you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, or your Savior and Lord, because you have to accept him as Savior first. And many of us still haven't made him our Lord, because you're still doing it your way. But if he is not your Savior, baby, I'm here to tell you, your destiny is hell. Hell is a real place, a place that was created for the fallen angels, not for mankind. That's why God sent Jesus Christ, the key. He is the key. You don't want to go? Well, get the key. If that is where you do not want to dwell, go get the key. Once you leave this body, understand we human beings are spirit beings. I always say, people don't believe in it. I believe in aliens. Come to God's Miracle Church. I believe in aliens. Why? God says that this is not our place. He said we're peculiar creatures. We're peculiar. This is not our home. This is alien to us. Or it should be. Understand, people, you who are listening by YouTube, when you die, this is an earth suit that God designed for the spirit man to dwell in this atmosphere. Just like going to the moon, you need a special suit to dwell in that atmosphere. This is how God set it up. He designed this earth suit and he put that spirit being in there. And it has a life expectancy. When time is up, that spirit being is coming out of there. And where do you want to go? We're going to either go and dwell with our Father who is a spirit, or we're going to dwell and live in hell. I'm going to ask you a question. Well, for God so loved the world, such a love that makes all other loves pale in comparison. But what must our response be? The cross is a twofold thing. To those who have never repented of sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ to be their Savior, you must come to the cross. I'll be the first to tell you that I don't like everything about the Bible. I don't agree with everything in the Bible. I've said it before. Okay? But God didn't ask my opinion on it. Now, he may have asked yours. But he didn't ask my opinion on it. He didn't say if you like it. He said if you love me. See, God knows what is good for us. And what is right. If you do not receive Jesus as your Savior, then you will stand before God alone. You will stand before God. We all are going to stand before God. Either the great right throne or the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an answer for the life that we led. The price Jesus paid does not count for you if you do not accept him as your Savior. The penalty still has to be paid. That's why there's a hell. That is where sin goes. There is no sin in heaven. And we cannot pay that price. But today there is an opportunity. The Savior Jesus Christ is standing with his arms wide open to accept each and every one of us and to give you the keys to those who have received Christ. We are called to live constantly beneath the shadow of the cross and never forget that we are not our own.
Hallelujah.
We were bought with an incredible price.
Yes. Yes.
An incredible price. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. I don't take anything for granted. You know, this is why we do what we do. But you may have been in church all your little life, or you may have just started coming. You may come to church every now and then, even you who are listening by YouTube. Or you may not go to church. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, I want you to raise your hand so that I can pray for you. What do I mean by accepting him as your Lord? I mean as your Savior. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may not remember the day, if you've been saved for a minute or two, you may not remember the day or the hour or the time or whatever. But let me tell you something. When the Spirit of Christ comes to dwell within your heart, things change. Things change. Your heart changes. Your mind changes. You will never forget that day. Not the day you joined the church, but the day Jesus came into your heart. I'm going to say it again. If you really want to walk with the Lord, and you have never accepted him as your Savior and made him your Lord, raise your hand so I can pray for you. Now, take it that everybody in here is saved. If you're saved and you've taken things for granted, you may not have been walking like you should, and your love for the things of God has diminished a little bit, raise your hand so I can pray for you. You want to be stronger in your walk with the Lord. You want to hear his voice in a greater way. You want to know that when he speaks, that you're hearing his voice. That you walk arm in arm, hand in hand with him. Raise your hand so that I can pray for you. If you just want to be a stronger man or woman of God, not just religious, but you want to be a stronger woman, man of God, and to be used for God and His purpose, raise your hand so that I can pray for you. All right, what I want you to do is I want everyone who raised their hand, if you didn't raise your hand, don't worry about it. You raise your hand, come on up, and I want you to